You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friska. This message was recorded on August 26, 2020, and is taken from Genesis chapter 27, verses 1 through 29. Grab your Bible, turn to Genesis 27, and let's join Steve and the message.
And, you know, I'm probably singing to the choir. I just want to encourage the choir. I'm going to say that people that think that shutdowns are important and that we should all lock ourselves in the house and not see each other probably don't tune into my church services very much. If they did, they probably left, or they're a troll on Facebook, soon to be removed by the hand of the captain himself. So anyhow, if you'll find you 1,000,007 viewers, you'll find you a couple. I didn't even know what a troll was till just the other day, but we found some. So anyhow, you know what, is we were talking about it today, that you can tell that there's been a push out here in the real America to get open and to start living and go out and eat and do some things and fellowship together. And in our town, I really appreciated some of our leadership fighting for at least a visitor or two to make it into our nursing home and our hospitals. I think one of the biggest tragedies in America today is the fact that people are caged up by themselves in the later chapters of their life or in the depths of their sickness, and they're left back there by themselves. And so everybody that's around me knows I harp on that quite a bit. But, you know, it's when we start opening up, And you're in agreement with that, go support it. Be in on it. Because I told an entity the other day, I said, COVID-19 will not cancel your event, but a government official will. But someday when the masses just stand up and say, you know what? Today I just think I'm going to go to town. And some of those guys are going to have to either sit down and be quiet, move over and pay attention, or sit down and have a conversation, or just encourage us to do what we're all ready to do. I think the level of frustration in America today is dangerous. I think there's a lot of America today that's like a ticking time bomb. This like a lit match over here waiting on somebody to spill the gasoline. I think people are agitated and aggravated, uncertain how this goes. A lot of us who walk by faith and not by sight manage okay, but I'd be a liar if I didn't tell you I didn't have my moments. I've had a lot of moments where you just look around and you go, some of this is just beyond ridiculous. Some of it is... ununderstandable. Praise God, I don't live in California where they're going to put pictures on my or notices on my windows every day of my church telling me I owe $5,000 today or $10,000 tomorrow, or walk in here in this room right now and slap a fine on everybody in here because they don't think we're doing right. So praise God, we live in Muleshoe, Texas, where we do have some leniency, and we do have some freedoms. But I can see very easily where the level of frustration could become a way of life for a lot of people, where you just find yourself waking up in a bad mood. So I'm going to try not to feed into that too much, because there's been a lot of people heard me preach angry. I know how to do that one. It'll get the most likes on Facebook. I know that. Yeah, if you'll just have you a good old healthy stomping fit, they'll share that with everybody. But to take the truth of the Bible and the things that we talk about in here and the things we've been sharing around America, where you do find some peace and you find some hope, you find some power in the God-given authority, where you're not operating in fear. You know, sometimes people accuse fear or wisdom to look like fear, but wisdom is wisdom. But to not be governed by fear, to not be dismayed by everything around us, to find hope in the scriptures and hope for today and hope for tomorrow, hope for the generations, knowing our God's with us. There is nobody else that God is with other than his people. And if God is with us, then who in the world can stand up against us? Is that not true? And so, you know, Wayne's been with me all weekend, but if you follow me around, you're going to follow a guy who it doesn't just give lip service to this. I live my life in full authority. Wherever I desire to place my foot, I'm going to put my foot down. And if I don't fit your narrative and you don't want my foot in your place, be sure and say so, and I'll be sure to avoid that spot. But everywhere else, where I work and where I live, see, unlike I told in that little rant with the governor the other day that he hadn't showed up for yet, he's getting a lot of pressure. I'm expecting a phone call any minute because there's people putting it on him now. Huh? Maybe that gum, if I get it in the middle of church, buddy, we're taking it in public in 48 states and 5 countries. But you know, over here in Steve's world, I'm open for business. I'm open to live. Going to do this now every day. Not going to stop. You know why? My contract with God said that I could. So I'm not going to let a basket full of naysayers tell me exactly what I can do and what I cannot do. I know what my God has promised me. So in the name of Jesus, I'm just going to get up and do it. And so I'm here to tell you today, my wife and I are pretty tired. We've been going pretty fast. But I'm telling you what now, me and that partner of mine, we've been having us time. You're not finding that you won't come to the house and find people grumpy and frumpy and naysayers. And no, you just find a pair of old folks who's been working pretty hard and a little bit tired, but we can't wait to go to bed so we can get up in the morning. We're going to try it again. That's what the Word of God will do for you. The Spirit of God. He's bigger than any government official. I'll teach you, I'm going to run around and be a bunch of lawbreakers now. Don't get me messed up with Antifa or somebody. But I'm just telling you, you can feel it in the atmosphere. Even over in New Mexico today, you can feel it. They're getting in their cars and they're driving around. It ain't a ghost town around there no more. People are getting up and moving around. And one of these days, you know, our whole country never knew what to do with the virus. They still to this day don't know what to do with the virus. Here in a minute, they're not going to know what to do with you people either. You people are going to become a bigger nuisance than the virus. I just want to encourage you in that today. We're still doing all the regular stuff around here. It's been pretty cool. Coffee with the Colonel is down to 5 days a week because we replaced Tuesday with our little Bible study. It's been men in the building and then everybody outside the building. Give me a couple months, ladies, and I'll have them men cleaned up where you can come inside the building. But there's a couple of them came back after summer and they wasn't house broke yet, so give me a minute to get my guys ready for company. But no, it's working out pretty good. We've been having, I think, like 1,600 people or something on our little at 6:30 in the morning on Tuesday for a little Bible study. Doing it on Facebook, and it's been a lot of fun. Wednesday night's a lot of fun, and so I just, here again, I want to be sure that everybody's encouraged. We've got a fight on our hands, everybody knows it, but tonight's the night that I just feel like breathing a little life into the troops, kind of having a little pep rally, so to speak, give you some stuff that's good to go on, so we can get on outside these doors and do what we got to do, okay? Hey, let's pray right quick and we'll get started. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for the day. I thank you for the many, many blessings in our life. I thank you, Lord, that you're bigger than COVID, that you're bigger than wayward politicians and all the stuff we got to deal with every day. Lord, I thank you that you're bigger than our fears. I thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet for those of us that choose. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the promise of a future and a hope. Thank you, Jesus, tonight for the blessing of my family and children, children's children. I thank you for this fellowship. Thank you, Lord, that I was born into the greatest nation on the planet, the United States of America. One nation under you, God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I thank you, Lord, for our present-day leadership. Man who's learning to serve you as he serves his country. Thank you for Mike Pence, Lord, a man who's known you a long time. He's just here to serve. So, Lord, as you continue to make way for the future generations in this great nation, use us at this very moment to be your hands and feet, to be the voice of one crying out in the desert, to be the ones who cast legitimate votes, ones who speak with intelligence, and the ones who hold on to absolute truth. Use these words tonight, Lord, in this little study tonight to encourage us, to bless those who hear it, and most of all, Lord, to bring you glory, Jesus. You're worthy of our honor. You're worthy of our praise. Just reveal your glory, Lord. We love you and thank you, Jesus, very much. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey, let's go to Genesis 27. This is kind of a fun little old story right here. And I feel pretty relaxed and tonight, and I think we can have a good time. And would you all indulge me if I step over here and get my cup of coffee right quick? Can't believe I've been here all night and only had two sips of coffee so far. That's crazy. But chapter 27 is a pretty neat little chapter. A lot of you know the story. This is where Rebekah tricks old Isaac, and prophecy comes to pass. And we'll talk about it here in a minute, but let's read this just right quick. Hey, does anybody else need a Bible? Anybody need a Bible? You can follow along. Okay. All right. Genesis 27, verse 1. Said, now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, my son. And he answered him, here I am. That right there, that verse will preach all by itself. To be able to answer the father when he simply speaks, my son. And the answer is, here I am. That's the father-son relationship. That's exemplified in God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, who are two but yet one. And through the Son, we have now also been made sons and daughters of the Most High God. With ears to hear the voice of a God who speaks. Hear the call on our lives, to hear the beckoning of the Lord. Son, come here, son. And the answer is, here I am, Dad. That's how personal this relationship with Jesus is. He's not far from us. According to Acts 17, as some of your poets have written, he's not far from us, for we are his offspring. And so he says here, then he said, behold now, I'm old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver, your bow, and go out in the field and hunt some game for me. You see, to back up a little in case you hadn't been here, but Esau was a hunter. He was the oldest son. Well, there was a prophecy given to Rebekah when the children were in her womb and the two were fighting amongst each other, kicking around in her belly. Remember the night I talked about Rebekah having a bellyache and she called on God, and God said that you now have two nations and the older will serve the younger. And so God went against human protocol and prophesied to Rebekah about the children within her, and that the older would serve the younger, because it was human tradition that a father would pass the birthright down to the oldest son, whom it appears would be Isaac's favorite, because he smelt like dirt, he shot live game, he cooked it, and he brought it to Dad. Jacob, on the other hand, he was kind of a mama's boy, and he hung out in the kitchen. But the prophecy said, God said, see, this is the part we got to get to one of these days. God said, he said, Esau will serve Jacob. And so here he goes. He said, go out there and kill me something to eat. I'm getting old, can't see, can't get up, hungry. I like smelly old dirty clothes. Go kill me something. That sounds like a good idea right now. Why don't you run out there, some of you, and kill me something and bring it back. He says right here, then he said that I may bless you before I die. See, here comes the Father's blessing. But you remember what happened several chapters back, even before this? What happened the day that Esau came in and he said, give me something to eat, give me something to eat. Jacob had made up some of that old red soup. He said, give me some of that red soup. Jacob said, give me your birthright. Esau sat around there in his self-indulgence and need for momentary pleasure and momentary satisfaction. He said, okay. So look, the prophecy's being played out here. He sells his birthright for a moment of satisfaction. I know a whole country that did that. Get it back here pretty darn quick. Now, y'all hang on. We're going to get her back pretty quick. I can feel it coming. He said, now Rebekah was listening. And when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt the game and bring it, Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, bring me game and make savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. How long do you think Rebekah had been standing around waiting on this opportunity? You see, Isaac didn't know the prophecy. God spoke to Rebekah. Have you ever been one of them that God spoke to you, and it went against everything you'd ever learned in church? It went against everything that your family would put up with? It went against everything the guys in the smoke room at work believed in? How many of y'all have wore that dress, Cinderella slipper, around for a month or two or three or a year or 20 or something? Going, holy moly, I'm just waiting on the right opportunity, God. I don't know how we're going to pull this off. I know what you told me, God, but it does not fit the narrative. Isaac ain't going to like it. Oh, I remember one time way back yonder. I won't mention any names. Wayne will know all of them. He's the only one been with me since way back yonder. But I had a gal in my office, and I'd just taken over the office. So this is 28 years ago. So I was really young then, a lot younger than I am now. And she was tough. And she had some stuff going on in her life, and she just never did really want to hear much about God. And she could pretty well let everybody know she's about tired of us yapping about Jesus all the time. Anyhow, she's out of situation going on, and I'm laying in bed one night minding my own business. And the Lord spoke, and he said, you need to go over there tomorrow and pray for her. Pray with her. Because that's what I told God. I said, how about I just lay here and pray for her? He said, you need to go over there and pray with her. I said, Lord, she ain't going to like it. Anyhow, I pleaded my case to no avail. The Lord was pretty insistent. So anyhow, I go in there, and I don't remember how it all went. I didn't breathe there for about 15 minutes. And I said, hey, I don't know if you believe this or not. I said, but God told me to come over here and pray for you. That's the only way you was ever going to get me to come over here and pray for you. I was scared to come over here and pray for you. God told me to come over here and pray for you, so I hate to tick him off. So I come over here and pray for you. I walked in that woman's room before she died here a while back. And she reached out for my hand and she said, would you pray for me? See, sometimes you'll wear something around for a minute, and you'll chew on it, and you'll argue, you'll say all the wrong stuff, you'll do stuff plumb backwards, and somehow, some way, God still gets it done. Somehow, some way, God seems to still manage people. An entity as ignorant as humans. Have you ever thought how amazing God is that he actually uses humans? I mean, really, if you took a good look at us lately, and God still gets it done. It's crazy. Don't you think he'd be a lot easier if he just did it by himself? Yeah, it would. What benefit is that? So here we got Rebecca. She's looking for an opportunity. She's probably laid in bed at night going, oh, you know what, God, this would just be easier if I get a piece of pipe and just knock him in the head. But then he can't give the blessing. See, the Father's got to give the blessing. It's got to pass from the Father's Son. So she can't just walk in there and knock Esau in the head, Isaac in the head. So she's waiting on an opportunity. What does God do in our lives as a providential guardian? Provides opportunity. Do you recognize those opportunities? You know what the God stuff is? I don't think a lot of people do. I spoke on this Sunday morning after the horse sale because I auctioneered a horse Sunday that it was all I could do to get it out now. I'm telling you, I never done one that hard in my life. My grandson come riding by me on a big buddy gray horse. He's been around there for about 5 years. He is an awesome individual. And I think my little family's pretty awesome too. So the minute I opened my mouth, my Adam's apple kind of banged off the bottom of my nose and snot went slinging around there. And I got to mumbling over that horse. My family we can't even look at the pictures yet. Isn't that the dumbest thing you ever heard? And we've been in the horse business all our life. And we still, to this day, can't look at the pictures. That's crazy. Now, one little piece of God's creation is brought into a family of believers and creates a moment that you couldn't pry it off us with all the money in the world. It'll never go away. It'll be something we talk about, something that pulls something up from the inside of every one of us every time we speak of it. Casey and I got to talking about it today just a little bit. I told her there's a really cool picture of her and Ransom hugging each other, and it's going to be on all our ads for the coming up horse sales. A girl put that all together today, and I just started telling Casey about it while I was driving home to the cow sale today, and here in a minute, we're both slobbering around so bad, can't even drive, can't talk on the phone. Listen, here's what I'm telling you. As goofy as it sounds, the providence of God, who would 5 years ago bring a special horse into our lives, into our family, where 18 years ago, God brought a young man into our family. Listen, every ounce of this has been way less than perfect. We've all had our moments. We've all done dumb stuff. We've all said dumb things. Even that horse has done dumb stuff.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message on Genesis chapter 27, verses 1 through 29. Come join us Wednesday night, 7:30, 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And tune in every Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Mountain Time, to listen to Steve on AM 1450 Cow Country. For Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.